Casaloma was a rather unusual band in some ways.
Well, the Casaloma band originated in Michigan, you know, in Detroit, and it was like a house band, you know. They didn't like whoever was in charge of them, so they went to Toronto and it or somewhere and played in a place called the Casaloma. And so when they were trying to break away, they didn't know what to call themselves, so they said, well, we played the Casaloma place, let's call it the Casaloma Orchestra. So they did.
But it was unusual in that it was, at least for a while, a collective band.
Yes.
In other words, not only financially, but in some ways in the way they played, in their conception of the music.
Their style was based on the arranger, which most bands are, and that was Gene Gifford, and he wrote very difficult, repetitive things. One that I remember, one of his tricks was the brass would play dee-dee-dee-da, and the saxophones would play dee-dee-dee-da. So we go dee-dee-dee-da, 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 dee-dee-dee-da. He kept doing that until I'd say, for God's sake, stop. It was technically very difficult, so hardly any bands that had any jazz influence at that period could play anything that difficult, you know? They were kind of the best band because they were better than other people at playing things that you couldn't play. When I began working with Goodman, I'm the only guy that ever worked for the two best bands in the world at the same time, because Casaloma was the best and Goodman was on his way up, and while I was writing for the two of them, Goodman passed Casaloma. So mm-hmm. I said, now where are my loyalties? What mm-hmm. am I going to do? But it did fix it so that I was the only guy to ever work for the two best bands in the world at the same time. Goodman would go to listen to the Casaloma. He'd go there and have dinner and listen to them at the Essex House to see if I was giving them the same arrangements that I made for Goodman, which is silly. The combinations were entirely different.
There was a clarinet player who's pretty much forgotten today, probably underrated even in his time, in that band by the name of Clarence Hutchenreiter.
Yeah, well, he and I worked in lots of bands together. Every place I went, he went. There were several musicians who, whenever we'd be working a job and the job would finally be coming to an end, and the guys would be worrying, where are we going to go now? Because you never played in your hometown, you just worked with bands all over the country, you know. So they used to say, oh, don't worry, Spud has a job with another band, he's going to get us all on there, and I would. I would worm my way in, I'd make a couple of arrangements, and then I'd tell the leader, hey, these guys that you got can't play this stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'll get you some good guys.
Uh-huh. And one of those good guys was Clarence.
Yeah, he always went along.
He was a hot player.
Yeah.
Where did he come from, do you know?
Somewhere in Texas.
What kind of guy was he?
Fine, marvelous. We were roommates for years in all kinds of bands. We used to walk into a place when they gave us our quarters, you know, where we're going to live. We would be given a room sometimes that had no bath. So then we'd try to find out where the bath was, and it was half a block away down the hall. When we'd check into a hotel and find out that that was the kind of service we had, then we'd say, well, it's time to inaugurate the service. So we'd turn on the water in the wash bowl, and we'd both pee in it at the same time. That's inaugurating the only service we had. Yes.
The leader of Casaloma Orchestra, Glenn Knobloch, went by the stage name Glenn Gray and was much loved by his bandmates. Spud set me straight about the tall, very handsome Glenn Gray, whose friends called him Spike. I understand that he was kind of a great leader and that everybody liked him and he handled the business end real well, but he wasn't that much of a musician.
No, he was great.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, he played first alto sax and all that horrible, difficult stuff that Gene Gifford would write. He was the leader of the section.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. The only thing is he was not an ad lib player.